It is wonderful to participate in a family reunion. And that is what we are. I've been very moved today already in our time of worship. And I struggled through that last song. My mother died of pancreatic cancer 15 years ago, May 17th. May 18th, the day after Carrie and I moved here 15 years ago. Keith Lancaster and my family have been connected for many, many years. And Keith and the group that he was doing something at a church somewhere a couple of hours actually away. And anyway, Keith and his wife and his girls came to the house and, pardon? His mom? What did you say? However many came to the house. Bottom line is they gathered around mom's bed and they sang to her. And this is one of the songs that they sang, It's All Right. As she was, as she was dying. Sorry. And at her funeral, this is a song she picked for us to sing. It's All Right. And it's just a, sorry. It's just a wonderful song to sing with my church family because it is all right. It is all right. There's a story of a grandfather that is, he's walking by the room where he sees his young grandchild praying. And he just kind of listens in to the child's prayer. And the child just starts praying the alphabet. And in this kind of reverence of tone, A, B, C, D. And he's just praying the alphabet to God. And when he got done, his grandfather asked him, he said, I'm just kind of curious why you said the alphabet to God. And the boy said, I really don't know the right words, but if I give God all the letters, he can figure it out. I think I'm going to just start praying the alphabet sometimes and let God figure out all the words because I don't have all the words. Today, as we continue this one another series, as we're looking at trying to build this fellowship between each other and God and the strength that we've gained from one another, I want to talk about that phrase, pray for one another. There is a situation and a result that I do not fully understand. Not that that's unusual in Scripture, but there are things that just make no sense to me. And this particular occasion that I'm about to share is one, you see, there's this huge persecution that has been building against the Christians in Jerusalem fairly early on in the life of the church. They had gone through different verbal persecutions, even some beatings. But one of the apostles was murdered by the Roman Empire, King Herod. And another apostle, seeing that it pleased the people, Peter, was put in prison. And Herod's, seeing that it pleased the people what he did, decided that when Passover was done, he would kill Peter. Why God allowed one apostle to die and another to live, I don't know. But this is what I know, Acts 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. The church was earnestly praying to God. Of all the weapons of choice that were at the disposal that they could have done, a revolt, whatever it could have, they could have thought about, they gathered to pray. And this earnest prayer is going up before God. James is already dead. The understanding is Peter's going to be following in that martyrdom. And only God can save. And so they pray. They pray earnestly. As God hears that prayer, Peter is released from prison. An angel comes, the shackles drop. He's been guarded by a huge amount of soldiers, round the clock sentry. He is taken out. Doors open up. He's just taken outside. The angel leaves. Peter's trying to figure out, is this a vision or reality? And it's reality. And he goes to the home of the mother of John Mark, where this prayer vigil is being held. Now, if you know the story, they don't think it's Peter. They're praying earnestly inside the house for something that they don't think is happening outside of the house. I haven't figured all of that out. Here's what I know. God knows the heart even when my faith doesn't measure up. That's what I know. Even though their faith had a hard time believing that Peter was standing knocking outside the door, they're praying for that very thing to happen. And God answers that prayer. My point is simply this. They pray for one another. There are two things I know. I know I need God. And I know I need you. Those are two facts I know. I know that without you, my understanding of God, as much as I may study His Word alone, will be limited. I need you. I need the connection that we have to help me walk as I ought to walk. I need you to share life with me. I need you to pick me up when I fall, whether that is emotionally falling, whether that is spiritually falling, whether that is physical needs that I have. I know in order for me to understand and experience God in the flesh, I need you, my church family, my brothers, my sisters. And so we have an opportunity, we make an opportunity, to at least gather once a week in praise and adoration for this God that we serve. This morning, I just want to share with you a few passages of Scripture about praying for one another. And I want us to think about prayer in light of what the passages are telling us. And as we begin, and we're going to do this again as we close, I would like us to pray. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, there may be those among us right now that are going through some struggle within their own life. Father, you have drawn them to this church family. And we pray that we would act upon that. Father, there may be those here this day who have not yet named your name, not yet claimed the grace that comes, who have not yet given themselves in that death, burial, and resurrection that we call baptism, that have not entered into your kingdom. I pray for those. Father, we pray for those whose physical lives have some difficulties, or maybe there's some unknowns, like there is with little Jordan. Father, we pray for each other, and we don't always know the right words. But you are our God, and you always know the right answers. And it's in you that we trust, and in Christ that we pray. Amen. I want to tell you, God is so great that he gave me some of the same passages that he gave Alan, even though we did not talk about the Lord's Supper. I want to share with you a passage from Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to begin in verse 15. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Paul says, I am praying for you. I'm remembering you in prayer. My mind is thinking about you as a church family as I write these words to you. And as I'm writing these words, what I'm thinking about is a great faith and love that you as a church there in Ephesus are known for. And so my prayer that I have for you as a church is that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Paul says, I'm praying for your spiritual strength. The point that I'm going to drive home in just a few passages today is while we often pray for the physical needs of one another, and that generally becomes most of our prayer list, and I'm not putting that down, I wonder if we miss the calling to pray for the spiritual well-being of one another. Yes, I want you to get better if you are sick. That is a true statement. I want God's healing and blessing to come upon you. But I would rather one of us die in Christ than one of us live without Christ. So I would rather pray for your spiritual well-being, not over your physical, but along with that physical well-being. Because in the end, one day we will all pass away. Until Jesus comes again, death will continue on. So my prayer for you and for me is that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, that we can know that calling for which we have been called. When Paul comes to the end of the book of Ephesians, he gives what we call the armor of God speech. And I love that armor of God. And I want you to think about something before I read you the ending of that passage in chapter 6. Is that it's the armor of, which belongs to God. It is his armor. My point is, this is not something you develop. God's already developed it. This is something you put on. This is a gift that has been given to you. So clothe yourself with these things so that you can stand against those darts that are thrown at you by Satan. God knows exactly what you need to be kept safe spiritually. So God has created His spiritual armor and then has given it to us as that church. And so Paul says, put on this armor of God. And when he brings all of that to a close, I want you to look at verse 18, chapter 6, verse 18. He says, after all of that armor, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayers and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And he continues it on. But my point is this. Paul says, after you put on all of this armor, okay, you take that shield of faith, you take that sword of the Spirit, you take that helmet of righteousness, you take that breastplate, you put all that on. When you put all of that on, I want you to pray. And specifically, I want you to pray for one another. I want you to pray with all prayers and supplication for all the saints. I want you to be so mindful of your brother and sister in Christ that your heart is drawn to their spiritual well-being, and you just have to stop for a moment and say, God, I don't even know what's going on in Rachel's life, but just bless her. God, I'm not sure what's happening in the life of so-and-so, but I just want to lift them up to you. He says that all prayers, all supplicate, pray for all the saints. Because we are all in this battle against evil, against principalities, these spiritual darts that are being thrown at us. And so I've got to be leaning upon you, and I need you to be praying for me. As fellow Christians, Paul would write to another church, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And again, this whole thing continues on. But I want to just center on these two verses for just a moment. The calling to pray for one another. Okay? He says, I want you to pray. Here's what I want you to pray for. I want you to be praying. He says, I'm asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As in, there is a belief system that you're already in God's Word. That's already a given. So the belief system in this God's Word is that God will now reveal Himself to you through that Word. I want you to have this spiritual understanding, this wisdom that is going on. But not just so that you can quote book, chapter, and verse. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm praying for you because I want your daily walk to be what God's will already is. So I'm praying not just that you know God's Word, but God's Word so touches you that you have to respond to it. It's not a knowledge factor. Yes, we grow in knowledge. It is a factor of transformation. It is taking the knowledge that God has given to you and saying, now do something with this. Let your life be changed because of what you're hearing and reading and studying in my Word. Paul says, that's my prayer. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Just think for a moment. If we as a congregation truly decided for 1 week, just from Sunday to next Sunday, to center our prayers around God being at work in the people of this church, drawing people to His will and understanding, that fruit is being born, good fruit is being born because we are praying for one another. Because there isn't a single one of us that are good enough to know everything on our own. So we're lifting each other up. We may not even know what it is that you're walking through, but it doesn't make a difference. I'm going to be praying for you. Because we're all walking. We're all living life. And so I really am going to spend this week with my new directory. And I'm going to pray for every single person in those group of papers. And yes, it might be somewhat about your health, but that really is going to be the minor thing. I don't even know what God's going to put on my heart when I'm praying for you that day. But I do know that I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to give this week to living what I preach. Because I'm telling you, just because I stand up here doesn't make me any better than anybody sitting there. Okay? So I have got this weight to be praying for our spiritual life. And when we all of us, are lifting one another up, this bearing fruit in every good work will take place. Before any action ever happens, if we don't spend some time in prayer, what we're doing is we're going to ask God to bless something we've decided. Wouldn't it be better to listen to what God has decided and then we bless what He's already doing? And not put the cart before the horse. So God, where are you at work in this body? What are you doing? And God, I just want you to bless that group. I want you to bless that study. I want you to bless that family. I want you to open the eyes of this person who this week, whatever's happening in their life, they need you right now. And God, I know you are at work in them. That person may never know that you prayed for them. It doesn't make a difference whether they know. You want the heart, their eyes of their heart enlightened to see what God is doing within them. Probably the most difficult prayer for one another is, and most emotional is when you are praying for someone who is struggling with a sin or outside of that grace of Christ. And that's really difficult because your heart, man, your heart is just so hurting because of whatever's happening and what they're going through. Maybe it's a sin that you know of, or maybe it's just simply that they've never claimed Christ. So maybe what you feel led by God is to sit down and say, who is it that I just need to say, God, please open their heart to hear you, to just start the conversation, prick them. I would call Peter. I know he's not the greatest of the apostles. I get that. I would call Peter a pretty influential apostle of Jesus Christ. And in that, during the ministry of Jesus, Peter was an all-in person. Peter would often say things where he put his foot in his mouth, but he said it with all of his heart. And at the end of the ministry of Jesus, Jesus says that I'm going to die. And Peter says, that's not going to happen. I want you to listen what Jesus says. This is Luke 22, beginning with verse 31. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Jesus says, here's what I know, Peter, Simon. He's not calling him Rock, by the way. Here's what I know. I know that Satan is going to attack you, and I actually know that he is going to win. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Here's my point. We've got to pray people all the way through the sins going on in their life. Not just the beginning of it, and not in condemnation of it. I want to pray them all the way through it. I want to understand, like Jesus, that there is more to their story than what is just happening in their life right now. And I want to pray them through that. And I want to lift them up, and I want them to understand how important God is. An older man, I read this, an older man closed the worship service in prayer, and he said this, Lord, dismiss us with your peace, except those who do not know you or are not living in obedience to you. Keep them miserable until they turn to you. And here's his point. His point was not, I want them to have a bad day. His point was, I don't want them to get comfortable where they are. Keep them miserable until they come to you. Could you imagine praying that for somebody? Stir such angst within them that they can't stand where they are and they know they need you. What a prayer. Taking the time for intentional prayer for one another is absolutely vital for us to have fellowship. And for just a few seconds, so I'm going to give you some time to think, I'm going to just pause for just a few seconds. I would like you to think of somebody, a part of this family, connected to this family, connected to your personal family, that you just want to lift up before God, maybe to strengthen whatever it is that they are going through. Or maybe it is that they just need to know Jesus and be saved. And so I just want us for a moment, individually, and then I'm going to finish this out in prayer, and we're going to go right into a song right after that. Just be mindful of your praying for their soul. Let's have that moment together. Father in heaven, as we have listened to just tiny verses today, we also have experienced you today. Thank you so much for Scott and his ability to lead our worship. Thank you so much for Alan and the words that you placed that were really your words already for him to share. Thank you so much for the prayers that have already gone up before you. Father, right now, each of us here are mindful of somebody within our body or connected to our body that we just want to lift up in a spiritual way. Father, hear our prayer. Cleanse our heart, O God. Help us to be like you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.